Understand from now till Bereshit after Sukkot, the Haftorah is no longer related to the Parshat HaShavua, but Haftorah is related to the time of year. From Parshat Bereshit until Pinchas, sometimes including Pinchas, as it did this year, and we discussed that last week, or from Bereshit until Balak, and then beginning from Pinchas, straight through all of Sefer Devarim and beyond, the relationship of the Haftorah is to the time of year, not to the Sedra. I'm going to correct that. Not till Bereshit. Or maybe you could say till Bereshit. I'm not sure. I'll tell you what my dilemma is. Before Parashat Bereshit, we have Simchas Torah. The Haftorah of Simchas Torah, because remember, on Simchas Torah, we've read the end of Torah, Zot HaBracha. We read the beginning of Bereshit. And the Haftorah of Simchat Torah is the first chapter in Yehoshua. Which means already that by Simchas Torah, we already have again Haftorot that are related to the Parsha. So I therefore correct it. It's not from Bereshit and further. It is from Simchat Torah and further that the Haftorah is related to the Parsha. What do we have between now and Simchat Torah? Between now and Simchat Torah, we're going to see that there are the three Haftorot of punishment. Gimel de Poronuta. That's this week is going to be the first chapter of Yirmiyahu and the first three psukim in the second chapter. Next week is going to be continuation, the second chapter of Yirmiyahu. And then the Shabbos after that is going to be the famous Haftorah of Chazon Yeshayahu, the first chapter in Yeshayahu, which is always the Haftorah for Parshas Devarim, because the Parshas Devarim always precedes Tisha B'Av. So those are the 3 weeks that are coming up now. Following Shabbat Chazon, the following Shabbat, of course, is another famous Shabbos, and that's Shabbat Nachamu. Also a Shabbos that is named for the Haftorah, because it's the Haftorah of Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Yeshayahu says, prophets, console my people. And there are going to be seven Haftorot of consolation following the three of the punishment. Then there are going to be two Haftorot of Tshuva. And then, of course, what we have over there is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, until we come to Simchas Torah, and it all starts over again. Before we start Haftorah, turn over to the second page. Number one is the Avudraham. The Avudraham is one of the Rishonim who goes through all of the halachot of Tefillah and Kriyat HaTorah, and he says the following, Vamrinon bePsikta. Psikta is one of the Tanaitic writings. Mi Bereshit v'ad Shiva Asav Tammuz, from Parashat Bereshit until Shiva Asav Tammuz, Maftirin le'inyan ha-parshiot doma le'doma, the Haftorah is similar to the inyan of the Parsha, Hainu, Haftorah dome b'mashahu le'inyan ha-parsha shalotah Shabbat, the Haftorah is similar in some way to the Parsha, and if you've heard me during the course of the year, I've gone a step further to say that the Haftorah very often it focuses in on the most significant aspect of the Sedra that maybe incorporates within itself the entirety of the Sedra. Mishom ve'elech, from there and further, that's on the 17th of Tammuz at Sof Hashanah. Hakol lefi hazman ulefi hama'ora, it's all according to the time and to what took place. Tlat de paranuta, three of punishment. Ve'sheva de nechemta, seven of consolation. Ve'tarti de tiyufta, and two of tshuva. Ve'simanam, the simon, the avudraham gives a simon. Not the tzach Adash Vachav, but Deshach, Noah, Ark, Shadash. I don't know. There must be, I can't figure out what it means. But Deshach, we know what Deshach is. Deshach, this week's Haftorah is Divrei Yirmiyahu, begins with a Dalet. That's the Dalet. Next week's Haftorah is going to be in the second chapter of Yirmiyahu. Shim'u Devar Hashem, hear the word of God. And then the Ches, of course, is Shabbos Chazon. The Nun, of course, is Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. And from here on and further, you understand, I'm going to get a little stuck. I mean, even though I. All right, so, yeah, well, you know what they all are. You know, so, yeah, we'll study them as we go. Number two is that's a Tosis Masechet Megillah, Anu Noyagim, where it says, number two, Anu Noyagim, Al Pi Apsikta Loma Gimel De Paramuta Kodem Tishvav, Ve'elu Heng Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Chazon Yishayahu. Now we have over here Rab Zevin in the Sefer Moa, and the Mahalacha says that Chashivut Miyuchedal Haftarot Eilu, there's special importance and significance to these Haftarot. He seems to say that all of the other Haftarot was sort of, our rabbis gave us a general indication what to say, but we had a certain amount of leeway as to which we choose. I'm thinking to myself, it may be, therefore, there are certain differences between Ashkenazim and Svardim, Svardim and Taimanim, Taimanim and Italianim. There are different nuschaot about different haftarot. The only place where we all come together, and I don't believe there are any changes when we're talking about these three, the next seven, and the next two, here all of Klal Yisrael has the same, because these are already this was already established by our rabbis in a concrete and absolute fashion. Therefore he says, since these were established precisely and exactly and specifically by our rabbis, these are extremely important Haftarot. All right, now we can go start the Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min haKohanim asher ba'anatot, the words of Yirmiyahu, the son of Chilkiyahu, from the Kohanim. Anatot is the name of a town, a city. Anatot was a city of Kohanim. Anatot was on the site of a present-day Arab village called Anta. Anta is someplace, I believe, to the north, of, not Neve Yaakov, not far, behind French Hill, all right? So if you want to mark that down, you can mark down an Arab village that was built on the ruins of a Jewish city, the city of Anatot. Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu from the Kohanim in Anatot, and it says from the Kohanim because it was a city in which just about the whole town were Kohanim. Be'eretz Binyamin, which is in the land of Binyamin. That's exactly the land of Binyamin. I think Givat Tzarfatit is already in, that's part of the land of Binyamin, most probably Ramat Eshkol as well. Asher Hoya, the second Pasuk, and the third are going to tell us how long and in what periods of Jewish history did he say prophecy. Asher Hoya Devar Hashem Elav, the word of God came to him in the days of Yoshiyahu ben Amon, king of Yehuda, in the 13th year of his reign. And he continued saying prophecy for a total of 40 years. Vayehi. And it continued in the days of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiyahu, king of Yehuda, until the end of the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu ben Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu had a number of sons who served as king. First Yehoyakim, then later it was Tzidkiyahu. In the middle there was also another king of Yehuda called Yechonyahu, or Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin is not mentioned here because Yehoyachin or Yechonyah reigned for only 3 months, but he is very important, because there is a pasuk we all know, or a few pasukim we know. Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Habira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yoir Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini Asher Haglo Im Hagola Asher Haglasa Im Yechonya Melech Yehuda. He went off into exile with the exile of Yechonya, king of Yehuda, Asher Hagla Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Bavel, sent into exile. Yechonya was there between Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu, but he was only there for 3 months, reigned for 3 months, and he was taken off into exile. There was a certain blessing in that exile. Not that exile is a blessing, but if exile is going to happen, the blessing there was that Gedolei Yisrael were taken off into exile. And that's 11 years before the Churban, and they already established the infrastructure of a Jewish community that would be ready to receive the exiles who are going to be coming 11 years later, and they didn't know it. They didn't know it. Until the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu ben Yoshio Melech Yehuda, Ad Glot Yerushalayim Bachodesh HaChamishi, until the exile of Yerushalayim in the fifth month. The fifth month, of course, is the month of Av. Churban HaBayit was in Av, and the exile begins then. Vayhi Dvar Hashem Elai Leimor, and the word of God came to me so saying. Very interesting. God says to him, before I formed you in the womb, in the stomach, I knew you. We're going to get back to that word in a moment. And before you came out of the womb, Higdashticha, I had appointed you and set you aside. Navi lagoyim netaticha, I made you a prophet to the nations. First of all, to the nations means literally, and in fact, to the nations, there are going to be chapter after chapter at the end of the Sefer. Yirmiyahu is going to say what's going to happen to all of the good friends and neighbors of the Jewish people that surrounded Eretz Yisrael, the punishment that's going to befall all of them. There are two chapters that deal with the destruction of Bavel, and what's going to happen to Tzor and to Tzidon and to Plishtim and to Edom. Don't ask. He is a Navi LaGoyim. Some of the Mefarshim, of course, say that Goyim also represents the tribes of Israel, are referred to as Goyim. I like the word Yida'aticha. B'terem etzarcha, before I formed you in the stomach, Yida'aticha, I knew you. Because that's a classic word, and very often we get to this word, I have to point out that the word Yida'aticha, I knew you, or I know you, also, or maybe not also, in fact means I love you. And the source of this is in Parshat Vayera, God appears to Avram, the angels come and tell him that his wife is going to give birth to a child next year at this time. Angels leave his house on the way to Sodom to destroy it. And then God says, "Hamechasa ani mi'Avram, am I going to conceal from Avram that which I plan to do? I'm going to destroy part of Eretz Yisrael, and I've given it to him. I have to tell him what I'm going to do. Ki yeda'ativ." God says, why? Ki yeda'ativ, because I know him. Leman asher yitzaveh et bonav et beito acharav, that he's going to command his children and his house after him to keep the mitzvot and the way of God. Yedativ. So Rashi says, Yedativ, I know. V'ikor kulam, what it really means is, I love him. What's the relationship between love and know? The relationship is, if you really love somebody, you know them well. You know what troubles them. You know what bothers them. You know what their needs are. That's the proof of love. So, and therefore, of course, now you can understand the term yoda that is used with v'ha Adam yoda is chava ishto. Adam knew his wife Chava. So, of course, anybody who doesn't understand biblical terminology thinks that the Torah is very squeamish. You know, the Torah is not going to say that, you understand? You know, so the Torah uses some kind of a euphemism to rather than describe the idea of relations between husband and wife, of a Adam yada and Adam knew his wife, all right? It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's not what it means at all. On the contrary, what the Torah is saying in this first relationship, that the essential nature of the relationship is to truly know somebody and to truly love them. That's what it all is. That's the relationship. And you have the same thing, a number of classic places in Tanakh, by Chana and Elkanah. Chana and Elkanah, they come to Shiloh She ends up crying. She's unable to eat. And Elkanah doesn't really know why she's crying. He says to her, but I'm better to you than 10 sons. We once gave a whole shiur on this. And of course, when he tells her that I'm better to you than 10 sons, you know what that means? He doesn't understand what's bothering her. Elkanah, you don't get it. I know you love me, but you don't know. She doesn't even tell him. She understands if he can make a statement like that, he doesn't know that she wants one child more than anything else in the world. I know you love me, but so what? That's not going to make up for the fact that I don't have children. It's only after everything that happens that day in Shiloh, where she prays and Eli thinks that she is drunk, and he tells her, no, you got it wrong. I'm Ishok Shat Ruach, I'm a woman with a heavy heart. With a heavy heart, until ultimately she tells him what the problem is, and he gives her a blessing that God should fulfill her wishes. And then it says they went home, and Elkanah yoda et Chana ishto. He finally knew her, and she becomes pregnant and gives birth to Shmuel. Yoda means to love. God doesn't have to tell us, hey, Yirmiyahu, I was the first one to know you. That's not what it means. That's not what it means. Beterem etzarcha babeten. Before I formed you in the womb, yedaaticha, I already loved you. I knew that you were going to be my messenger to the Jewish people. The response of Yirmiyahu, the response, va'omer, and I said, aha, Hashem Elokim, vei Rebbeinu Shalom, what do you want from me? Lo yadati daber, I don't know how to talk, kinar onochi, I am but a lad, for I am but a lad, ki na'ar anochi. Do you know what he's doing? He is refusing to serve as God's messenger. Is he the first one to refuse God? No, he's not. Who is the first one to refuse God? Moshe Rabbeinu. He is a misarev pekudar, you understand, of the highest order. 7 long days. I don't even know how the Rebbeinu Shem had such patience with Moshe Rabbeinu. He just should have brought in the police and they would have known how to take care of him. But no, Moshe Rabbeinu refuses until God tells him, you're going, you're going. Yonah also refuses. Not only that, he's a drev dodger. He flees from before God. Off, he's going off away from Eretz Yisrael. And do you think that God is upset with those who refuse? No, he's not upset with those who refuse, because he knows that their motives are pure. He feels, Yirmiyahu feels unequal to the task, and it's going to be very important to understand why he feels so unequal to the task. What is it? So the only thing he says in the open is, Lo yadati daber, I don't know how to talk because I'm young. He seems to leave the impression that he's inexperienced. He hasn't taken any courses in public speaking. He doesn't know how to talk. He just won't know what to do. By the way, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't talk. And by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu, I believe, said that on his 5th refusal. The 5th time around, he says, I can't talk. I'm a stammerer. I stutter. Which means he wasn't such a bad stutterer, because if that's what would have bothered him, the first thing he would have said to the Rebbein Shem is, Rebbein Shem, I can't talk. That's not how he begins. He says, Mi anochi, who am I that I should go to Paro? In a sense, it may be that that's what Yirmiyahu was saying over him. We'll see right away. The Rebbein Shem's response is, Vayomer Hashem Elohim, God said to me, Al tomar na'ar anochi, don't tell me you're a young lad, you're inexperienced. And by the way, the word nar should not be understood as though he is necessarily young in years. When we hear the word nar, we think of, for some strange thing, reason, we think of, maybe a teenager, or maybe, a 12 or 13 year old. In Torah, that's not what it means. Avram is on his way to the Akedah with Yitzchak, so he says, Ani v'hanar neilcha ko, I and the lad. We'll translate it as lad for a moment. We're going to go to there, we will bow down, and we'll come back to you. Yitzchak was 37 years old at the time. The Torah says that Yehoshua Na'ar was Mishores Moshe. He was the servant of Moshe. Yehoshua was 56 years old. 56 years old is Shem Sashtikl, already somebody moving into adulthood already, you understand. So that the word Na'ar, and the Ramban explains this a number of times, the word Na'ar, I mean, unfortunately, I think Yiddish may have come in over here. The Chanar, you understand, the Chanar. So, Melim, when we hear the word Nar, we think of not only a young person, but a simpleton. But that's not... So, sometimes we have to free ourselves from the Yiddish. I like Yiddish, but here, that's not the meaning. The word Nar, we have to take a look at how it is used in Tanakh. That's what's important. Yirmiyahu is not a nar chronologically, but there are times where the word nar represents inexperience, and there are times, on the contrary, the word nar represents one who is full of what's the word I want to use? Kayach? Good. English. Enthusiasm, alive, exuberance, right. It comes from the word air, one who is awake. And Yehoshua is awake, he moves, there's a certain strength to him. So Hashem tells him, V'yom Hashem Eli, Al Toma, don't say, Na'ar Onochi, Ki Al Kol Asher Eshlochachot Helech, because about whatever I send you, you're going to go. That kol asher atzavchot tedaber, and whatever I command you, you will speak. Yirmiyahu is left without any choice. Now here, next pasuk gives us an insight. Yirmiyahu doesn't say everything that's on his mind, but the Rebbein Shem knows what's on his mind. It's not only that he doesn't know how to speak, and that he's inexperienced; he's afraid. He's afraid of undertaking the mission. And that's why Hashem tells him, Al tira mipneihem, don't be afraid of them, ki itcho ani lahatzilecho, because I'm with you to save you, Ne'um Hashem, says God. What's he afraid of? What's he afraid of? He's afraid of the powers that be in Yerushalayim. He's afraid of the people who hold the reins of government. He's going to be saying things that are not going to be terribly sweet to their ears. He's going to come to Yerushalayim, and he's going to be a dissenting voice, a dissenting, disturbing voice. He is going to walk through the streets of Yerushalayim, and he's going to bring a message that's going to tell the leadership of Yerushalayim that they have been found wanting by God. The way in which they treat the people, their relationship with God and that they're going to be punished for it. They don't want to hear that. You know what you do when you don't want to hear it? You close up mouths. You stop buses. You do all of these things to make sure that the voice of truth is not going to come through. And can you imagine? For 40 years, he's going to walk the streets of Yerushalayim telling them that a churban is coming. A churban is coming. Do you understand? Can you imagine what Yirmiyahu suffered? He's a favorite. He's a favorite novel of mine. I love Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is a tragic character of the highest order. In one sense, he was a great failure. He was a failure. And then in another sense, we're going to see that Yirmiyahu emerges as a giant amongst prophets. Side by side with the message of suffering and destruction, there is also an unbelievable... Evelyn is here. Evelyn should know. You know Evelyn Hayes? Rachel Imenu's alter ego on this world today. It's Yirmiyahu who says, Kol b'Rama Nishma, the voice is heard on high. Rachel Mevako Alboneh, Rachel who cries for her children. Who is the one to whom God says, Mini kolech mi bechi veinayich mi dima, don't cry, Rachel, don't cry. V'shavu banam legvulam, your children are going to return. Yirmiyahu's words have been fulfilled in our days. What an amazing psukim in Yirmiyahu. But he's going to bring the message of destruction. You know, nobody wants to believe it. Everybody says, you know, there's this, sometimes this Jewish optimism is so devastating, so devastating. Like, it's all going to be good, don't worry, because everything's going to work out. It's like, yeah, Tov, yeah, hey, it's all going to work out. Don't worry. Okay, all right. I don't have to elaborate, you know exactly what I mean. We can talk in just generalities. By the way, more than any other one of the Nevi'im, Yirmiyahu is the one who suffers at the hands of his contemporaries. Oy, does he suffer? Does he suffer? He is thrown into prison time and time again. He's spat at in public. He is beaten. It's unbelievable. I mean, if we have, I don't know if we'll have a few minutes. If I don't do it this week, I can do it next week. A selection of the psukim in which we hear Yirmiyahu complaining, Rabbeinu Shalom, what do they want from my life? What do they want from my life? I'm telling them the truth. I'm saying the truth. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. All right, let's go. There's a lot to say. Re'ei. Vayishlach Hashem et yato, and God sent his hand, vayagal pi, and he touched my mouth. Vayomer Hashem elai, and God said to me, hinei natati dvarai beficha, I've placed my words in your mouth. Re'ei. You should see, if karticha hayom hazeh al agoyim v'al ha-mamlachot, I have appointed you today over nations and kingdoms. Lintosh, Vilintots, Vilahavid, Vilaharos, Livnot, Vilintoa. Each one of these words has a very specific meaning, and the Malbim is the one who tells us. If you want to turn over for a moment, last Malbim, number 6, down at the bottom. Poal Natash, the first word was Lintosh. Lintosh is always used with regard to that which grows. Trees, saplings. Lintosh means to uproot. Sha'oker ha'netiyot mimekomam, he uproots that which is planted from its place. U'magbil neged poel natatz v'haras shem yuchav al binyan. The word natatz means to destroy a wall, a building. So Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, you have been appointed to bring the message to nations and kingdoms that I will uproot, and I will uproot that which grows, and I will shatter that which is in filth. And the word heres also refers to destroying even more. Ki mishnei eli yadabe, probably talks about both of these here, kemo shoma, because the end of the pasuk, there are four words that describe destruction, and there are two words that describe rebuilding. Livnot, vilintoa, to build and to plant. So he's not only going to be a Navi of destruction. The end is that he's going to be the Navi of building and planting. Ah, in that chapter of Rachel, it says, Otiti kramim baharei shomron. You will yet plant vineyards in the mountains of the Shomron. He speaks about planting, and he speaks about building, and he speaks about uprooting, and he speaks about destruction. Later on in Yirmiyahu, it's going to say, God says, Asher baniti, that which I have built, ani horeis. So you see, the word horeis means to shatter something that was built. That asher natati, and what I planted, ani notesh. So notesh means to uproot that which I have planted. V'chein ubenitim lohedos, there will come a time that you will build, and I will not shatter, unetatim, you will plant for lohetosh, and I will not uproot. Then he goes on to explain the rest of the words, but let's go back into the text. We got to see we haven't even gotten to the main part of the text yet. God, the word of God came to me so saying. You know, what we've gone through right now is really the first conversation that takes place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yirmiyahu. I think it all started with Vayehi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor. Then it said Vayomer Hashem Elai. That's all part of the first. Now we come Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayehi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor Ma Tarawei Yirmiyahu. What do you see, Yirmiyahu? He shows him something in a vision, and he wants Yirmiyahu to tell him what is it that he sees. Omar and I said Makel Shokade Ani Roeh. Makel Shokade Ani Roeh. A makel is a stick, a staff. We'll see the precise meaning of makel. And a shokade is an almond tree. Now, Vayomer Hashem Elai, God said to me, Heitav Tolirot. You have seen well. Ki shokade oni al devari la'asoto, because I shokade means either that I act diligently or act with haste to bring about that which I plan to do. That means we will see that there are a number of plays on words and images that I used over here. Now you have to understand, why does the Rebbeinu Shlomo sort of tell me, you know, that's very good, that's very good. I think that most probably any child that goes to Gan and Eretz Yisrael will be able to recognize an almond tree, right? What? Hashkeidia porachat, the Shkeidia is the first one that begins to blossom. When the Shkeidia, it's still cold over here when the Shkeidia is already blossoming. So the Mepharshim say, of course, that all he saw was a staff, wood, nothing on it. There were no blossoms on it. I mean, a shtickholz. You have to be a shtickle botanist, horticulturist, zoologist. You have to be something to be able to know that this staff, this stick, is is from an almond tree. Turn over on the other side, please. Number four, Malbim. Just a Malbim that can help you in a lot of places in Chumash and Nevi'im. Yesh Hevdel, there's a difference between a Makel, a mate and a mishenet. He doesn't even have all the words that mean stick or staff. What else is there? Well, he has makel, mate, mishenet. Huh? Shevet. Lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda. Or Mizmala David. Shivtecha umishantecha hema yenachamoni. There's another related word which is anaf. Branch. All such stakeholders, you understand. But we'll see how everything fits in over here. See, he has to differentiate because the word that was chosen here was makel. Makel. Why makel? Why not mateh? Why not mishenet? What did Moshe use? Moshe used the mateh. He used a mateh. Mishenet, you have in Parshas Mishpatim. In Parshas Mishpatim, you have if somebody hits his friend and he has to be in bed, and then im yokum, if he's going to get up and go out al mishanto, he can walk with a stick. Or the famous haftorah, the famous pasuk of Zechariah, where Zechariah says ode. Okay. Od yisachaku na'arim una'arot. Children are going to play in the streets of Yerushalayim, and ish meirov yamim, people of very old age, ish mishanto biyado. They're going to sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. He describes the beauty of Yerushalayim la'atid lavo. Anyway, what's the difference between makel, mateh, and mishenet? Hamateh hayasui l'kavod. A mateh is something that sort of is dignified.
Like a
scepter pack. Or a British colonel, you understand, with his... Whatever you call those things. A baton? All right. A swagger stick. Swagger stick, very good. Okay. That's a mateh. Times that people would carry the mateh, and that was an indication of one's station in life. Sometimes it also means that a person is either president or the head of a community. There you have the word shevet also. A mateh is strength, and the shevet, the word that he hasn't used, shevet, is that which is used to rule. If it's something that's used to lean upon by the elderly or those who are weak, then it's called mishenet. Im yakum v'italech v'chutz al mishanto, or ish in Zechariah ish mishanto v'yadom. It obviously means v'im asui lahaka'ah, and if it's used to hit somebody with it, then it's called a makel, and that's usually in the hands of shepherds. And Bilam hit his donkey with a makel, not with a mishenet, and not with a mater, and not with a shepherd. By the way, what do you hear in the word makel? You just hear makel. I know one is a chav, and I know one is a kuf. But you should know sounds. Sounds also are significant. The makel, you hear the word makeh, to hit, to strike. God is telling Yirmiyahu that there is punishment going to come. Which word can he use that's going to describe, number one, punishment? It can't be a makeh, it can't be a mishenet, it has to be a makel. And furthermore, what kind of a makel? Makel shokade. Now, in the word shokade, the word shokade means amen, but the word shokade also means diligent. But there's a further symbolism in here that's very, very beautiful. Take a look at the Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, number 5. Vayinatz hashoked zunu v'atol shel Yirmiyahu shenema makel shoked anidoeh. Omer Rabbi Elazar, oy, listen to this. Masi mano shel shoked. What is it that distinguishes the shoked? Mishor sheyonetz atshehu gomer peid al tav. From the time that it blossoms until the almonds are ready, 21 days. Esrim ve'achad yom. Kach, so too, 21 days. From Shiva Asar B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. Echad ve'esrim yom. Kol gzeirot ra'ot bar al Yisrael. All the gzeirot ra'ot came on Israel in that period of time, as it says, Kol rodefeha in Echa, kol rodefeha, he siguha bein hametzorim. All those who pursued her, caught up with her between the boundaries, Shivasa B'Tammuz on one side and Tisha B'Av on the other side. Now you're beginning to get the picture already. Why we begin with Divrei Yirmiyahu, Makel Shaked. So that means like this, we have in these two words, Makel Shaked, we hear Makel, which is Makeh, the almond, 21 days, Shoked, something that comes quickly, so its imagery is in its sound and in its meaning and in the description of the almond tree itself. Makel Shaked Anidoeh. All right, back. God speaks to him for the second time. Now, I want to point out that the second time doesn't mean this is the second time God speaks to him. This is the second time God speaks to him after their introductory conversation, during which he places upon him the task of being Navi. It's the second conversation in which he tells him what his task is. What do you see? Va'omar, and I said, sir nafuach ani ro'eh. A sir, now many of the mafarshim, as the English translation here, sir is a boiling pot. Nafuach, the word nafuach means really a fire that's been, what do you call those things that,
bellows?
Very good. That's blowing because it's been bellowed. It's really, this pot is boiling. The pot is boiling. Uponov mitnei tzafona. And the pot, in other words, the spigot of the pot is facing to the north. Vayomer Hashem Eli, Hashem said to me, mitzafon tipatach hara'ah. This is an indication that the evil that's going to befall the land is going to come from the north. I'll call Yoshvei Haaretz, against all of the inhabitants of the land. He does not yet spell it out, but as we go through chapter by chapter, the north is going to be used time and time again, until the Pasuk says, Mitzafon Nishma, from the north we hear the sound of the horses coming, and the north is going to be Bavel. Bavel is really to the northeast of Eretz Yisrael. Mitzafon tipatach hara'ah al kol yoshvei haaretz, ki hineni korei lechol mishpachot mamlechot tzafona nom Hashem. Because behold, I God call to all of the families of the kingdoms of the north, ubo v'natnu ish kiso petach sha'arei Yerushalayim, and each man is going to place his throne at the opening to the gates of Yerushalayim. V'al kol chomoteha saviv, they're going to place their thrones all around the wall of Yerushalayim, thou call Orei Yehuda. What it really represents is the idea that everybody wants a part of Yerushalayim. Everybody wants Yerushalayim. And it's true, Ad Hayom Hazeh, everybody wants Yerushalayim. By the way, most everybody has a share in Yerushalayim. I don't know how much of the land of Yerushalayim is owned by Jews, But if you're talking about Talbiya and Rechavia and the areas where we are and Musrara, who knows how many other areas, it belongs to the church. And when you say the church, it's the whole bunch of them. The Armenians and the Catholics and the Greek Orthodox and the Chveis. Do I know how many they... That always bothers me. That always bothers me. I was looking for, before I hit on the idea of moving the school into the making a merger with the Israel Center. I was looking around, and a number of big buildings in this area. I was told, but you have to know. You're going to buy it. You can only get it on a 49-year lease because it belongs to this church or it belongs to that church. They all have a big share and they want more. The fact is, they want it all. Now, I'll tell you, I was horrified. I don't even want to say who it is, but, you know, sometimes they can make big mistakes. I have a little Yirmiyahu. I love this little Yirmiyahu. Except that one thing bothered me and it made me frightened for the rest of my way through Yirmiyahu, this pasuk. I wrote them a letter and I never got a reply. But here I have this Tanakh, and I'm not going to tell you who printed it, you know. In 3 weeks you have to watch out about talking Lashon Hara. Okay. And the other 49 weeks too. All right. Here I have in my little Tanakh, my trusty or untrusty little Tanakh. Ubo v'nosnu ish kiso Pesach Shadei Yerushalayim Pei Samach Ches. That's a very bad mistake. Ubo v'nosnu ish kiso Pesach v'shvuas Sukkos. The gate, the opening to the gate of Yerushalayim is as you have it over here, Pei Tav. That's a bad, bad mistake. So it scared me, and therefore as I went through the rest of it, I just was so all tense, making sure that every letter was correct. There are mistakes that can creep in. Anyway, v'dibarti mishpatai otam, and I will speak judgment with them. Al kol otam asher azavuni v'yekatru lehim achedim. I'm going to judge the Jewish people on par, all of their evil that they forsook me and they brought incense to other gods by Yishtachavulam Aseyodeim, and they bowed down to that which they made with their hands. And you know already my Torah about that. I've always said that when we talk about Jews worshipping that which they made with their hands, it doesn't necessarily have to mean those little Getchkalach idols made out of gold and silver. It means when man worships himself, when man thinks he can resolve all problems. Ose shalom bimerom, of the one who makes peace up above. Who yase shalom aleinu? I'll call Yisrael v'imru amen. When little mere man begins to think he's going to make peace, ochen vei. We need the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's the only partner we can have in any kind of a peace process. He's my partner. All right. Abu Hashem. They bow down the Maaseh Yedeihem. They thought they can resolve everything. And you gird your loins. Girding your loins always means, you know what it really means? What it really means is a fellow would go out to war, he would put on a belt, but the kind of belt that had place, you know, you see the electrician comes to the house, on an electrician's belt. An electrician has a belt with 100 different things. I don't know how he knows exactly where to pull out the thing he needs. He puts that on and he has everything he needs with him. This is where the warrior, he would have his sword, he would have his dagger, he would have who knows whatever other implements of war he would take with him. Vekanta. What does the English say, Vakanta? And arise. I hear much more in the Vakanta. No, one more. It says in Parsha Shoftim, when there is going to be a shaila that you can't answer, you should get up and go up to the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. The Vekamta over here is he's going to have to go up and speak in Yerushalayim. That's where he has to go. And you know what it means? He's going to have to speak against very, very tough guys. He's not going to have an easy time of it. He's going to have to stand up against awesome powers that are going to be arrayed against him. You will speak to them everything that I command you. Al techat mipneim. Don't be afraid of them. Pen achit cholifneim, lest I break you in their presence. If you're going to be afraid of them, I'm going to break you. You know what it means? There's a lot to be afraid of. If the Rebbe Shem tells him, don't be afraid of them, that means there is a great deal to be afraid of. V'ani hineni taticha hayom le'ir mivtzar, I have made you today a fortified city, la'amud barzel, a pillar of metal, u'lechomot nechoshet, and walls of copper, al kol ha'aretz l'malchei Yehuda, l'sareha, l'chohaneha, l'yam ha'aretz. There you have arrayed in front of him all of those groups that are going to be opposed to him. The kings, the sarim, the kohanim, am ha'aretz. He's not going to have a friend. Yirmiyahu is going to be a loner. Not only is he going to be a loner, his mishpucha in Anatot attempted to assassinate him a number of times. And it's all here. Yirmiyahu has the most difficult job of all of the Nevi'im. Because he's going to have to say prophecy in Yerushalayim. He's going to have to stand up against the powers that be. It's not easy. V'nilchamu elacha. They're going to wage war with you. V'lo yuchulach. But they won't be able to get to you. Ki itcha ani ne'um Hashem lahatzilecha. Because I am with you, says God, to save you. Second time he uses the same words. I am with you lahatzilecha. By the way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, Al Tira, don't be afraid. To Yitzchak, he says, Al Tira. To Yaakov, he says, Al Tira. And to Moshe, he says, Al Tira. And here he says to Yirmiyahu, not to be afraid. But the Haftorah doesn't end here. A Haftorah always has to end with the way all of Yirmiyahu is going to end. It has to end on the great positive note. Just as it said earlier, that you're going to be a prophet, lintosh, v'lintotz, lahavid, v'laharos, live note, to build, v'lintoa. And here comes the great psukim. Vayhi dvar Hashem, Eli le'mor, the word of God came to me so saying, holoch v'koros ba'ozne Yerushalayim le'mor. Komar Hashem, zacharti lo chesed niurayech, Avad Kulotayach Lechtecha Haraiba Midbar Be'eretz Lo Zerua. What a great pasuk. Where do we have this pasuk? In addition to all the singing, we sing the pasuk, but it's in the Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. Zichrono Zacharti Lo Chesed Niurayach, I remember the kindness of your youth. Lechtech Avad Kulotayach, the love of our period of engagement, of our marriage, the marriage between God and the Jewish people. Lechtecha acharai b'midbar, that you went after me in the desert, ve'eretz lo zerua, in a land that was not planted. There was a great, as we go through Torah, we lose sight of the fact that that march out into the desert was an act of great courage, great determination, great faith that Klal Yisrael has in the brain. And why does he say holoch v'karoto? Why doesn't he say leich v'karoto? What does holoch mean? What's the difference between holoch and leich? So you should know that the Mepharshim say holoch v'karoto means something that you should say over and over again. Holoch is not a simple command, but it is an infinitive, meaning keep telling them. Tell them that I love them. Let them know that I remember their kindness. I haven't forgotten and will not forget. And the purpose of all of your prophecy is an expression of God's love. He wants to rebuild the relationship that once was between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's what it's all about. He doesn't want them to suffer. He doesn't want them to be punished. He wants that whatever can be done in order to avoid what unfortunately has to happen unless they change. This is what Yirmiyahu is going to have to do. Can you imagine 40 years? 40 years and he doesn't succeed. Doesn't succeed. For that matter, the truth is not only Yirmiyahu was a failure. Yeshayahu wasn't such a great success either. But all of them may not have been great successes the way we look at success in the short run, but in the longer view of history, eternal words are said by Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, and their prophecies of consolation have been fulfilled in our days. I'm still wondering, I'm trying to see what would they tell us at this particular junction in Jewish history. So listen, we have another 2 weeks, Zugin all the Torah right now, but okay, we'll talk more about Yirmiyahu. There's a great deal to say about him.